Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutala Shrimate Bhakti Charaswami Niti Namane Snita Chaita Supranetha Bhagvinam Charasabhutam Prabhupada Gata Pranam Naomi Bhakti Charaparam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutala Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudire Nasta Prayashava Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Tumashlokir Bhaktir Bhaviti Naishtiki Shrinavatam Svakataha Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridayantastahya Badrani Vidyunoti Suhrit Satam. Today we are discussing Canto 6, Chapter 15, Text 25. Narada and Angira instruct King Chitraketu. Please repeat. Ayang hi dehi no deho. Ayang hi dehi no deho. Darvya jnana kriyatmakaha. Darvya jnana kriyatmakaha. Dehino vividha klesha. Dehino vividha klesha santapa krit udharata santapa krit udharata ayang hi dehino deho dravya jnana kriyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha santapa krit udharata. Prabhus. Ayam hi dehino deho dravya jnana kriyatmakaha. Santapa krit udharata ayam hi dehi no deho dravya jnana kriyatmakaha dehi no vividha klesha santapa krit udharata Matajis. Ayam hi dehi no deho dravya jnana kriyatmakaha dehi no vividha klesha santapa krit udharata ayam hi dehi no deho Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha Dehino vividha klesha Santapa krit udharataha Ayam This He Certainly Dehinaha Of the living entity Deha, body. Dravya jnana, Kriyatmakah. Consisting of the material elements. The senses for acquiring knowledge. And the acting senses. Dehinaha. Of the living entity. Vividha. Various. Klesha. Sufferings. Santapa. And of pains. Krit. The cause. Udahritaha is declared. Translation. The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is combined of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulations, adibhautika, adidaivika, and adhyatmika. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the fifth canto, chapter 5, verse 4, while instructing his sons, Rishabhdev said, Asan api kleshada asa deha. The body, although temporary, is the cause of all the miseries of material existence. As already discussed in the previous verse, the entire material creation is based on mental concoction. The mind sometimes induces us to think that if we purchase an automobile, we can enjoy the physical elements such as earth, water, air, and fire, combined in the form of iron, plastic, petrol, and so on. Working with the five material elements, panchabhutas, as well as with our five knowledge-gathering senses, like the eyes, ears, and tongue, and our five active senses, like the hands and legs, we become involved in the material condition. Thus, we are subjected to the tribulations known as adhyatmika, adidaivika, and adibhautika. The mind is the center because the mind creates all these things. As soon as the material object is struck, however, the mind is affected and we suffer. For example, with the material elements, the working senses, and the knowledge-gathering senses, we create a very nice car. And when the car is accidentally smashed in a collision, the mind suffers. And through the mind, the living entity suffers. The fact is that the living entity, while concocting with the mind, creates the material condition. Because matter is destructible, through the material condition, the living entity suffers. Otherwise, the living entity is detached from all material conditions. When one comes to the Brahman platform, the platform of spiritual life, fully understanding that he is a spiritual soul, aham brahmasmi, he is no longer affected by lamentation or hankering. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 54, Brahma Bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakangshati. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 7, the Lord says, Mama evangsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha manas sastanindriyani prakritistani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. The living entity is actually part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is unaffected by material conditions. But because the mind, manaha, is affected, the senses are affected, and the living entity struggles for existence within this material world. The translation again. The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is a combination of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action, along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kinds of tribulations, adibhautika, adidaivika, and adhyatmika. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries. So just to recap where we are so far. So this pastime is about King Chitraketu. Now, King Chitraketu, even though he had millions of wives, could not have a child. He couldn't have a son. And as all kings do, they worry about what will happen with my lineage and who will be the heir to my throne and who will do the offerings to my forefathers, and we will not do, you know, it's the same thing over and over with these kings. So he speaks with Angira Rishi, and Angira Rishi blesses him with a son by his first wife, and he says the son will be the cause of both jubilation and lamentation, and he leaves. So the co-wives then become very envious of the first wife, so they poison the son and kill him. Now King Chitraketu is completely filled with lamentation over this unfortunate event. Angira Rishi and Narad Muni come and preach to King Chitraketu, and they say all relationships in this material world are temporary. They say that, it's interesting, Angira Rishi says, I could have given you transcendental knowledge, but you wanted a baby, so I gave you a baby. This is essentially what he says. You know, so it's like mind blown here. And then he continues on by saying, but everything in this material world is a result of mental concoction. And that's where we leave off. So I was thinking about, while meditating on this verse, I was remembering before I came to Mayapur, and I was thinking I'm going to walk everywhere, and I'm going to chant my japa and go to all the holy places, right? And then we get here and we do that for a little while, right? We walk everywhere. And then we think, okay, I'll take a rickshaw. We see these nice rickshaws. We take the rickshaw, it'd be faster for me to go. So we take our rickshaw and we go everywhere, and we're taking our rickshaw, and then we see people bicycling around. And we think, okay, better if I take a bicycle. So you buy a bicycle and you bicycle everywhere. And as you're bicycling, you see these motorcycles going so much faster than you. So then you think to yourself, okay, better if I get a motorcycle, then I can get everywhere and quickly and peacefully, right? And then the motorcycle breaks down somehow or the other. We won't say you get in an accident. God forbid you get in an accident. We'll say it breaks down somehow or the other. And somebody suggests, well, you know, why don't you walk? What? Walk? I'll walk. Do you see how hot it is outside? And I'll walk everywhere. Are you crazy? Okay, well, fine. Why don't you take a rickshaw? Those rickshaw people are always cheating. They'll never give me a fair deal. It costs too much money. I'll never take a rickshaw. Okay, you don't want to take a rickshaw, then take a bicycle. Man, my bicycle's always going flat. I'm not taking a bicycle. I won't take a bicycle. This bicycle's ridiculous and constantly struggling and killing myself behind this bicycle. No. So why is it that walking was okay, rickshaw was okay, bicycle was okay, and suddenly now it's not okay? What happened? What happened? That there's a difference then and now. The difference is that our mind is the cause of our misery. Our mind, bicycle was always okay, walking was always okay, the rickshaw was always okay, but when we got the motorcycle, suddenly nothing was good enough. Isn't that the situation? So today we'll focus on how our mind, this is essentially what this verse is trying to get to us, how we are the creators of our own misery. And we'll analyze this by first understanding why the living entity becomes absorbed with the body. Then we'll go on and discuss how we keep making these mistakes over and over again. And then finally, we'll continue on and find out how to get out of this horrible misery that's created by our mind. So first, we should understand, why does the living entity become absorbed in the body? This is like Krishna Consciousness 101 here, okay? That's pretty much as far as I ever got anyways, so kindly tolerate it if you already know it. So, the soul is eternally existing. This we've established, right? Chapter 2, verse 20 of Bhagavad Gita, Najayate Mriyate Vakadachin, right? It's never born, it never dies. Eternally exists, it's not slain when the body is slain. We understand this, right? Okay. Now, we all know that it's the nature of the living entity to be happy, right? We always want to be happy, we're searching for happiness. So, eternally existing, always looking for happiness. We are tied, however, to a material body with senses in a material world, right? We have a vehicle in which to experience, because we're so, it's like a bad roommate. We're constantly associated with this material body, so we assume that we can experience eternal happiness through a material body. Unfortunately, the nature of the material world is that it's temporary. So what we're actually looking for here is what we're, this is the part where I sell you the Bhagavad Gita here. What we're looking for here is eternal happiness. And that eternal happiness, as we all know, is found with Krishna. Okay, don't answer at the same time. That eternal happiness is with Krishna. So this is why we have this absorption with the bodies, because this bad roommate is constantly associating with us and telling us, this is going to make you happy, that's going to make you happy, that other thing's going to make you happy, that person over there is going to make you happy. And none of those things are Krishna. None of them are Krishna, so none of them actually make you happy. The problem, actually, someone was telling me about this the other day. The problem with us is that we keep trying to make everything our Krishna, and nothing's our Krishna. No man is our Krishna, no woman is our Krishna, no motorcycle is our Krishna, only Krishna is Krishna. So we should just try to be with Krishna, right? Doesn't that seem simple? Simple for the simple. How our minds make everything so complicated. So Srila Prabhupada, he makes this statement that totally blew my mind. You're going to love it. He says, the fact is that the living entity, while concocting with the mind, creates the material condition. Because matter is destructible, through the material condition, the living entity suffers. Otherwise, the living entity is detached from all material conditions. So it's not that my motorcycle is making me suffer, or that man is making me suffer, or that woman is making me suffer. It's your mind convincing you that without it, you're suffering. That if it's broken, it's you're suffering. It's an interesting thought. It's an interesting, you know, the material nature is constantly going on. It's continuing on, you know. It's just doing its thing. It's doing what it does. The material nature just goes on, you know. But we have some kind of an attachment to it. We form some sort of convoluted relationship with it. And then when it doesn't work out the way we want it to, then we're, you know, completely amazed. We're completely shocked. How could this be? This wasn't my plan, you know? Just to give a very mundane example, a girl likes a boy. She finally confesses her feelings. And then he's like, I don't actually like you. And then she's devastated, and then she comes to me, Mataji, and I'm like, why do you people find me? That's, and boys too, and you know, and it's, I mean, and it's anywhere, it's everywhere, it's, you know, love happens, Haribo, you know? We all make these stories in our lives, so just to give them, so we have this boy has his life going on, he has his plans. This girl was not in his plans. So trying to get into his life, it didn't work out because his plans was something else, and then she's miserable. The boy wasn't trying to make her miserable. He wasn't like, I hate that girl, let's make her feel awful. That's not the plan. The plan is, you're not in it, you know? And that's just how it is. It's the same thing with the material world. The material world goes on, right? It's adhyatmika, adhivodika, adhidevika. It goes on just like that. It's temporary. That's how it is. You know? There will always be these, it's always temporary, you know? Things will break apart. Your motorcycle will fall apart. You know, you'll have plumbing problems. There'll always be too much chilies in the subji. You can't get away from that. That's just the nature of material existence. But the question is, so material existence doesn't change. We've established this, right? The material nature doesn't change. Does Krishna change? Krishna doesn't change. He knows what he wants. He wants you, right? He wants your heart. He wants you. So he's not going to make a wonderful arrangement for you where everything's awesome and comfortable and wonderful and amazing. That's not Krishna's aim for you. His aim for you is to love him and to be with him. So Krishna is not changing on that. He's not like, I love this person, but I don't love this person, so, you know, I'm going to make an arrangement for you, but not for you. That's not how Krishna works. He wants everyone, you know, no matter how old you are, no matter what stage of life you're in or whatever. He wants everyone. That's Krishna. So Krishna doesn't change. The material nature doesn't change. So somebody has to change. Who's going to change? We have to change. We have to change our understanding. We have to, like, take our bad roommate and say, hey, roommate, we've got to work something out here because you're telling me to do all these wrong things and that's just not the way it's going to be. So we have to kind of preach to our mind.
a little bit and be good association for our mind, because we're stuck with this mind for a while. Your roommate's not moving out, you know, he or she has no plans for moving out. So you've got to kind of preach to your mind and like convince your mind to be good. So now that we've discussed why the living entity becomes absorbed with the body, because it's so closely attached to it, and then we said that Prabhupada says that our mind is concocting all these things and ideas, but the fact of the matter is just material nature's acting, Krishna's acting, and you're the one that's just getting attached to things. So now we'll discuss how we get free from this kind of misery, right, that our mind has concocted for us, and we're just stuck dealing with our mind. So what Prabhupada is trying to get us to understand here is that misery doesn't actually exist. We always say this material world is miserable, right? It's an ocean of misery. Actually, misery doesn't exist. Mind blown. I know. Mind blown. Misery doesn't exist. Our mind is the one that gives us the misery because we're associating with the mind. So the sooner we understand this, the sooner we're less miserable. That it's our mind telling us. It assigns an attachment and our senses act on it, and then we get disappointed and we want to like shrivel up and die and find Prema Rupa Mataji and cry, and I'm always like, Hari Bol. Okay? In fact, I was thinking about, where's that verse? Chapter 6, verse 6 of Bhagavad Gita. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, Bandur atmanastasya yenatmai vatmana jitaha anatmanastu satrutve vartetatmai vashatruvat. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. So your mind can be your friend once you've controlled your mind, once you've somehow managed to get your mind under your control. But if you don't do that, then it's constantly seeking out happiness. So the question is how to control your mind. So through chanting, generally is what we say, through chanting Hare Krishna, and chanting offenselessly is the most important thing. In my ninth grade Shastra class, my girls are learning about the 10 offenses. And we're focusing on, today we're doing the 10th offense, to not have enough faith in the holy name and to still have material attachment. So we're reading Harinam Chintamani and we're understanding deeply what all these offenses are and how to like avoid those offenses. So this offense is called, this is very found by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he calls this the I and mind offense. This 10th offense is called the I and mind offense. Because we're saying, you know, I'm this person, I'm that person, I'm a devotee, or you know, I'm a brahmana, I'm a kshatriya, I'm a householder, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a, you know, and this is my house, and this is my car, and this is my room, and this is my garden, and this is my, you know, this is all my, this I and mine. We have some attachments, and we don't have faith that Krishna will take care of us and provide for us. The I and mine offense. So it's an interesting way to term that offense. But we actually, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is that we must surrender to Krishna's desire. It's not our desire, but Krishna's desire. And it's, you know, and it's great if you're a nice devotee and, you know, you go to Mangal Arati every day and you chant 64 rounds before 8 a.m. Hari Bol, congratulations, you know. But that's not, that doesn't mean Krishna is in debt to you. You know, Krishna doesn't have to do anything for you. That's for you. All of that is for you. That's not for him, you know? So it's not like, you know, Krishna, I did all these things for you. Now please give me one nice Krishna conscious baby, you know? Please give me one nice motorcycle. It doesn't work like that. Krishna doesn't function like that. Very nice. You do all these nice things. You're such a nice devotee. Now I have my thing that I have to do, you know? And it's going to be okay. I'm preaching to myself with this one here because I'm constantly like, why, Krishna? But yeah, it's going to be okay. Krishna's desire is always greater than your desire. I was thinking, recently our youth had a drama about the life and death of Pandu. I don't know if many of you got to see it. It was just this past Saturday, and I was reflecting on how interesting Krishna is. You know, you just see his hand in all of these arrangements, you know, the more that you study the Mahabharata. And then I was looking at how, even though Gandhari, for example, she was pregnant before Kunti, and Kunti is, you know, she's married to Pandu, who is cursed to never be with his wife. So essentially, they couldn't have children. But despite all of these obstacles, and despite Gandhari being pregnant even before Kunti, Kunti ended up having a baby before Gandhari. How Krishna arranges things. Krishna's like, great, you're going to have 100 sons, but none of them will be king. Meanwhile, Krishna makes this arrangement somehow or the other, and Yudhisthira is the firstborn, and he will be the king, and it's totally obvious, and everyone's upset on the Kaurava side, you know? How Krishna makes these arrangements. You may have a desire, you may be the nicest devotee, you may be, you know, in the top 10 charts of pure devotees, but that doesn't mean that Krishna is going to just do whatever you want. It just means that, okay, you're a nice devotee, you better surrender. So also Krishna wants us to understand. Srila Prabhupada gives this last verse that he says. He says, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. So then we're all associated with Krishna. Essentially, we have to stop trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, or quit trying to like take our desires and dovetail. Like, we were having this discussion also in one of my classes, and the kid said, you know, what if I have this material thing, or I want this material thing, but I use it for Krishna's service? And I said, so what you're saying is, you want your parents to buy you an iPhone, and you're like, Jai Darshan, and you're taking a picture, and then you're texting your friends the rest of the time. Like, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. No. That's not how Krishna works. Like, all it is that if it's not according to Krishna's desire, you leave it. Parinam Chintamani says that, I'll do everything favorable to Krishna and reject anything unfavorable. I'm just surrendered to Krishna. If he wants me to stay here, I'll stay here. If he wants me to go to Goloka, I go to Goloka. If he wants me to take birth, if he wants me to suffer I'm doing it, whatever he wants. If he wants me to get an iPhone, I guess I'll get an iPhone. But whatever he wants, I'll do it. But all he wants is that we associate. That's our real nature. That's our actual position, is to associate with Krishna. And anything outside of that is just extra. You have children, you don't have children. You have a car, you don't have a car. It's just extra. So also, by breaking free of misery, I always say you have to be conscious. You know, it's not like Krishna unconsciousness, you know? You're not just like, somehow I think of Krishna. Yeah, it's Krishna consciousness. You have to think. It takes some level of, you know, understanding and realization and separating yourself from your mind and your anxieties and your, you know, and look objectively. You have to be very objective with your feelings. Even if you're feeling, I'm not saying that you're like a yogi, you know, you're not like, you know, like, I'm not feeling anything. Okay, you had that feeling, then step back and say, why did I have that feeling? It requires some analysis, you know? Did I want that kirtan slot because I just want to glorify Krishna, or did I want that kirtan slot because I know the most people will be there? It happens, right? I feel really sad for Yashomati Mataji sometimes, having to deal with all those kirtaniyas. Even myself with the drama. They'll come up to me, Mataji, can I be in the next drama? I say, sure, no problem. Mataji, give me the best role. I want the most lines. And I'm like, Haribol, I'm like, I don't even know you. Like, how could you just demand that from me? It's a service, you know? So in the same way, we can't demand things from Krishna. We can't demand things. We should be very objective. What's my real internal desire? Is my internal desire that I want to serve Krishna? My internal desire, name and fame, is my internal desire, enviousness, is my internal desire, pride, what's my desire? What do I really want? I gave this example, there was a girl I used to, there was one Mataji I used to really not like, And I used to just, I used to boil inside every time I saw this person. And she had never done anything to me. Never. She never did anything to me. And it was like this for years. And then one day I said, why don't I like this person? You know, I found any reason to not like her. I'm like, how could she not remember my name? How could she look at me like that? How could she sit next to me like anything, anything? Like, I would just get so upset. And then one day I just thought, I said, what's the real cause of my anger toward this girl? And then I realized I was envious. I was so envious. Everything that I did, I felt like she did better, you know? I like kirtan, she sings kirtan better. I give class, she gives class better. I dance, she dances better. I act, she acts, you know, everything she did was better than me. And I was completely envious. And once I realized that I was envious, I thought, well, what am I doing that for? I'm supposed to be a devotee, you know? So I stopped being envious. I was like, I'm not gonna be envious. And then all those feelings went away and we became friends. You know, there was actually nothing, the problem wasn't her, the problem was me. So Krishna consciousness requires some consciousness. You know, why am I envious? This girl, again, her timeline is going on and I'm coming in and being miserable. And then because of that, I'm blaming her. But the reality was, it was me. You know, it was my fault. You know, it was my bad association. So be conscious. Even if you don't catch yourself the first time, catch yourself the second time, the third time, the fifth time, the hundredth time. Don't spend your whole life hating somebody and not actually knowing why. And then you'll, you know, you'll get some peace. I got so much peace after that realization. All our relationships are temporary, but our relationship with Krishna is eternal. That's the most important relationship that we need to foster, that we need to work on above all other relationships. Sure, we should have nice relationships with everyone. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but the most important is how we surrender to Krishna, how we love Krishna, and we trust Krishna, and we have faith in the holy name, which is non-different from Krishna. So today we discussed why the living entity becomes absorbed in the body. And we said it's because it's constantly associating with the mind and the senses, so it becomes attached. Even though it's looking for something eternal, everything is temporary, so it suffers. And we keep attaching our suffering to material things, but actually the material nature is just going on, and Krishna is just going on, and we have to change. And finally, we discussed how we should break free from this misery. And we talked about how we should surrender to Krishna, that it's important for us to surrender, that we need to become conscious, that we need to make friends with our mind. And through that way, we can actually stop being miserable. So what we've understood here is that we are the creators of our own misery, as Srila Prabhupada states. We create our own misery. Everything's going on and we've created it. But we also have a responsibility to not be miserable and to be with Krishna. So, I think that's all I have to say. Does anyone have any questions or comments in regards to anything? Humbly try to answer. Otherwise, we're ending early. Nothing at all? You have?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
I think it's interesting that you mentioned the bike analogy.
Yeah.
Because just yesterday, I had this big jar of ghee in the basket of my bike, and then I let go of my bike, and it toppled over, and today, so I was very angry at my bike. How dare you fall over, you know? And then this morning, because yesterday my bike fell over.
Yeah.
And then this morning I was riding to temple, to Mangalarati on my bike, and the chain was making this weird sound. So I was so angry again at my bike. How dare you make this sound? Now I have to fix you, and that takes away my time to practice Radanga or studying.
Yeah.
So again, I was so angry at the bike, and so your lecture was very inspirational to me. And if I could ask a question, it would be, what is some tip when we encounter some struggle like this, to remember, oh, this is maybe a lesson from Krishna, or this is arranged by Krishna for me. Mm-hmm. What's a tool to be friends with our mind? Can you give some tip?
I think it's just practice. Like, I always end up like laughing. You know, if you just laugh it off, you feel better, I think, personally. But it's just, like I said, it's just, so you can be mad in that moment. I kick my bicycle like every day. It's not getting better. But I mean, just be conscious that it's the material world. Actually, the sooner that we separate ourselves from misery and separate ourselves from this I and mine mentality, the sooner we experience real Mayapur. You know, the longer that you keep thinking like, I need AC and I need a motorcycle and I need this and I need that, you'll never actually experience real Mayapur. You'll just experience being in Mayapur or being in India or being, you know, but when you're like transcendent, you know, when you just laugh it off and you're just like, material world, forget it, you know, like, then it's okay, you know? But you have to like let go of that attachment. Someone told me that, like, they always tell me this because I'm me. So they were like, anytime you get some obstacle in Mayapur, it's Krishna's mercy. And I'm always telling, like, Krishna, could you be like less merciful? Like, you know, like, could you love me a little less? They're like, boy, Krishna really loves you. I'm like, love hurts. I'm like, you can love me a little less. So, I mean, for me, it's just don't take it personally, you know? That's the whole thing. We cursed our bike. We're like, bike, how dare you, you know? This bicycle is just a bicycle, you know? It's just doing, it's an Indian bicycle, you know? It's just doing what it does, which is fall apart when you're trying to get to Mangalarti or Bhagavatam class or school or wherever, you know? That's the nature of Indian bicycles. So you just have to be really lighthearted about it. Leave earlier, I don't know. But yeah, just laugh it off, you know? It's part of the adventure of being here, I think. Does that answer your question? Does that help you?
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Does anyone else have any questions or comments? No? Okay. Thank you very much for your patience. Please forgive any offenses that I've committed, either knowingly or unknowingly. And thank you very much for being so patient. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.